If you've got a pencil or a pen, it might be handy because I think, or if you've got your phone or something, I think there are a couple of places where you, not that I'm telling you, look, I'm going to say something so smart you need to write down. I think there's a couple of things in here that might help us to take this home with us. And I want to start with some questions. And the question you can already look at is the first one on the screens up here. And listen to what I'm saying when I say this. When did God first know you? When did God first know you? I mean, we go into the Bible and we have, it's arguably a time that is before your birth. It's just, it, really for us, it's arguably at what point before your birth did he know? And we have scripture verses that carry us way on back. And really, it's one of those questions to where we would do well to think about when did God first know you? And the second thing is this. When did he begin to love you? When did he begin to love you? And of course, the answer to that question is at the exact same time that he first knew you. So if we'll answer that first question, we'll get the second one. The third one is this. When did you first believe God? Not believe in God. When did you first believe God? Okay, I believe that there is a God, but when was it that we believed God? We believe whatever he said, whatever he leads us to do, whatever he's about. When did you first believe God? And then the next one is a little bit of a sad one. When did he forget you? When did he forget you? And of course, the answer to that one is found so many times in the Bible. It's found in the Old Testament and the New Testament. God is saying it. Jesus Christ is saying it. Jesus is saying, I'm going to send you somebody. And the whole reason is this. I will never leave you. I will never forget you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. When Jesus had his last words with the disciples, he told them, look, I am not going to leave you. And I want you to know that because when I go from this place, I am going to give you the Holy Spirit just so you will never be alone. I think that's one of those things that we look at. And as we jump into this, these verses, God fully knows us. I don't know how you feel about that, but that's a mixed bag for me. God fully knows me. And realizing that this message can get lost in the chaos of life, Chip, you're not bad because sometimes you think maybe he doesn't. You're not bad because sometimes you're conflicted. You're not bad because sometimes you're wrestling with this thing. If you look at Romans chapter 8, verse 23, don't want to go right there right now, but if you just mark that down, it's the verse that talks about the fact that the Holy Spirit has to help us pray. And what the words out of Romans chapter 8, verse 23, that are so deep for me is this. It says, and there are times when we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray. And it is then that the Holy Spirit himself will intercede for us with inner groanings. Now you look at that, and that verse is very deep because inner groanings is not some Greek term that we have to look up and find some fancy definition for it. Inner groanings means pretty much a hard sigh. Now, with a mask on, can somebody hard sigh for me right quick? It means either a hard sigh or a grumbling. As a matter of fact, James warns about the same word, saying that if you spit it out to each other, it's what you call murmuring or complaining. James says, don't do it to each other. But God is saying, let me tell you something. I want you to understand that there are going to be a lot of times in your life to where you are groaning on the inside, where you are wrestling with what God is all about in your life, and you're thinking to yourself, man, that's not bad. It's not bad. God doesn't want us to feel like we're bad people because we're thinking that way. He told us we would think that way. And so that's the reason. Here's a good word for Lincoln Baptist Church, the link.nz. There are times every day that we need to relink with God, to where we need to come back to Him and we need to say, God, I need to get that truth again. I need to get that understanding that You love me, You know me, and that You think I'm something. And we need to get back to that place to where we can receive, really, it's life-giving words that He gives us. There are two things that we need as humans, among other things, but to know and to be known are two of the most vital, deepest needs that we have as humans. And let me slow down here because I don't want to just jump by that. Our need to know is one of the things that drives us. I'm not talking about just knowing knowledge. I'm talking about knowing people. The reason that you're married here, or you were married, or you are whatever, the reason that you seek relationships is because you want to know. You want to know people. We're a relational people. And the other thing is we want to be known. If we're not known, then there's this thing that just eats us up, that we're alone, isolated, a person on an island, and nobody knows us. And so that is such a need in our world. And here we are in this 21st century, and I don't want to say that like an old grandpa or something, but the 21st century, where the reality is almost as virtual as it is real anymore. It is one of these things that in our instantaneous pace, it's disconnected, and it's easy to have all of the followers that you could possibly pile up. It's easy to have all of the likes and all of the comments and all of the fans that we can have, all the connections, and still feel like you're the only one on the planet. If you've got 7,777 followers on all your social media, and you've got people just liking you night and day, and you've got a YouTube channel that's blowing it out of the ceiling, but yet you have this inner feeling that you're the only one on the earth, that's what's real. It's not this virtual reality that we've come to know. So our scripture this morning speaks about a knowledge that really is beyond us. And so I want to give a few more questions, and I promise you this will be the end of the questions. But you might want to jot down any of these that really get to you. When was the last time that someone called you wonderful? I'm serious. When was the last time that a human being looked at you and called you wonderful? When was the last time that you felt really known by someone else? I'm talking about really known. That person, so known that you felt like, I can tell this person anything. I am so known by this person that's my partner. That's my prayer partner. That's my person that I can be accountable for, accountable to. When was the last time that you felt 100% loved by a person regardless of your flaws? And when was the last time that you thought about being a child of God? I'm talking about being God's people, or a friend or a brother or a sister of Jesus. And so our main passage this morning is in Psalm chapter 139, and it's credited to King David. And of course, King David was a man that was far from perfect. We've got stories in the Bible that are rotten stories. We've got stories in the Bible that are great stories. But we also have that tagline that he was known as one after God's own heart. And so David is the one that's given credit for Psalm 139. And here he understands that he is fully known. The good things, the bad things, the normal things, he is fully known. God knows it. And so as we look at go to the next one, or go back to the picture. I wanted to look at that for a second, David. Can you go back? most of the time we look at this and we're thinking about our child, or we're thinking about our grandchild, when we see the husband and wife's hands around the belly. And that's great times. But the one thing that we never think about, that we want to think about this morning, is that's your mother and father's hands. That's you that we're talking about. We're not talking about a pregnancy that you ever remember. We're talking about when we were created, when we were fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm chapter 139, verse 1 through 6, it goes like this. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. This extraordinary knowledge is beyond me. It's lofty, and I am unable to reach it. The words found there, fearfully and wonderfully, they mean that when God formed us, that he didn't just do, you know, we think of God thing, you know, God just said, be there. But here, we're seeing this picture of God reverently and carefully forming us into who we were. God just didn't just spit you out or just blink you into existence. God thought about who he wanted you to be. He made you who he wanted to be. He created you as who he wanted to be. And so as we as we look at this, we are it just hits us like a ton of bricks that we are unique. We are set apart. There's no person in here or in this city or in this country that is like me. Praise the Lord, some people say. Yeah. Some people say that about you too, by the way. But it's one of those things of uniquely, and I'm set apart. And so this is one of those passages, or at least it is for me, it's one of those passages that some of us have gained our confidence in just what it means for God's omnipresence and his omnipotence, his power and his presence in my life, in your life, in our lives. We see how important that is. And it reminds us, as a matter of fact, somebody mentioned it to me just a couple of days ago, this saying that we have, and it's this, and this is a reminder of it. God is always in control. God has never lost control. God will never, ever lose control. He knows what he's doing. We don't. And so that's what brings us to the point to where we're always hungry for the truth. Lisa and I were having a conversation, and David, you'll enjoy this. We were having a conversation because Lisa's situation is she is autoimmune. And that is such a big thing these days. And so we were talking because, of course, she's studying and wants to know what does this all mean and where is it all coming from. And so God created us, these wonderful human beings. But somewhere back in the, I don't know, I think it started in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. What a lot of people did, and back in our town when we were first little children, about every child back then got their tonsils out, got their adenoids out, anything else that they thought was kind of, that's not needed. And then when we got older, it was like, oh yeah, we can get that appendix out, we can get that gallbladder out, and just they start plucking things out of you. And now that it's been 30 or 40 years and we've thought about it a little bit, a lot of people are saying, you know what, we shouldn't have plucked all that stuff out quite so fast, because a lot of it had to do with something. In other words, if they were Christians, they were like, you know, if it was diseased, we should take it out. But otherwise, God put it in there. And yeah, we can't really tell you what God put adenoids in for, but there's a reason. He didn't put a gizzard in us. He gave us different parts. And so, yeah, we had fun kind of talking about that. So before, I wanted to get to this point this morning, because we haven't missed a beat with lockdown. We slowed down a little bit. But we finished up with Joshua. And now my point this morning was this. Before we can venture out into this community with the strategy so all may know, before we can blitz this city and try to let people that don't know about Christ know about Christ, before we can do that, before we can ever be that army of evangelizers, of people with the good news, we have to fully grasp that we are completely known. And we have to go out there with the attitude of, all right, I'm going to somebody that might just take one of these little packets we're given. I'm also going to a place to where they might invite me in and say, you know what, I've been thinking about this thing about Christ. Could you come in and share Christ with me, or share how I'm supposed to do that? We really need to be, we need to grasp that we are fully known by God, and we need to grasp that we ourselves fully know. Not all the scriptures. We'll never go if we wait until we have our degree from God to be able to go out and share this word. We're to be prepared. We're to know as much as we can. We're to study this word. But if we wait until we think we're ready, we'll never go. So let's look at this. He knows when you sit down. He knows when you stand up. He knows your thoughts. He knows your words. He knows where you're heading and why you're going there, why you want to get there. He knows what you're thinking, and he knows what you're going to say before you say it. And so sometimes it's the Holy Spirit that's saying, don't say that. But yet God already knows whether we're going to blurt it out or not. And so he knows us that well. David acknowledges just how difficult it is to understand the depth of God's knowledge. It's something, he says, that's so far beyond, it's lofty, it's unable to reach, it's beyond my comprehension. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. Some of our favorite verses about trying to understand our thoughts versus God's thoughts, because it puts it right out there. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. I mean, this is something that we should always look at. We should look at in our role in the family, in our role in society, in our role in the church. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. My ways aren't your ways. So something dawns on us. We've got to get to God to get his ways and his thoughts. Otherwise, we're going to be going by the seat of our pants. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We can't even imagine how to imagine his abilities. Now, I've been here for a little while, and I have some bad news for you guys. I have flaws. I know that your list is probably bigger than my list, but I do have flaws. And one of my flaws, I say that in jest, because I have many flaws. But one of the flaws that I have that sticks out like a sore thumb is, and my wife, if I gave her five guesses, she would get this in the first five guesses, probably the first one, is this. And you might could tell by some of our other online productions, I am a lousy actor. As a matter of fact, as I was growing up, my mom could read my mind. She knew what I had done. I always loved, I know there's probably not anybody else in here like this, but I always loved raw cake batter. And there was no reason for me to lie about it. My mom would say, Chip, you been in the cake batter? Yeah, I have. There was no reason to lie about it. And so then I got married, and then I grew up, and Lisa and I became a couple, and she just took out where mom left off. And when she's making a cake, she says, Chip, have you been in the cake batter? And I still love to swipe me some cake batter. Well, it's the thing about me is that if you look at me, I wear my feelings the way they say on my sleeve. I'm very easy to read. But it's not just me. The best of you, the best actors that we have in this place right now, God reads you the same way as he reads me. God knows us. God knows all about us. We are known by God. The prize behind the curtain, I guess, is that his love doesn't fluctuate. If you swiped the cake batter or if you didn't swipe the cake batter, if you made a mistake or you didn't make a mistake, if you sinned or if you didn't sin, if you really messed up or if you didn't really messed up, his love doesn't fluctuate. His love doesn't change because we have fallen or we have done something that should bring us to a shameful place, to a repentant place. God's love doesn't change. He is still that God that loves us unconditionally. And so we are appreciative of that. It's not because we're good. It's not because we're nice. It's not because we're smart. It's not because we're good looking. The reason he loves you is because you're you. The reason he loves me is because I'm me. That's the reason God loves us. So let's look at 139, Psalm 139. Skip down some verses into 13 through 16, or 13 through 18. And it says this: "For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. God, how difficult your thoughts are for me to comprehend, how vast their sum is. If I counted them, they would still outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake up, I'm still with you." And so in this section, we begin to see just how God's level of knowing us extends so far back that it's beyond the very moment of our creation. And we can't even think what that might be, because in theory, that's when God thought of us. That's when God understood us. That's when God knew us. And then, of course, we're talking about it's before conception, because that's obvious. The very first words and thoughts over your life were, in fact, wonderful, marvelous, beautiful. When you were born, marvelous, wonderful, beautiful. We see babies and we say, "Oh, it's so pretty. Isn't that so pretty?" God goes beyond that. Our firstborn, we warped him for life, or I warped him for life. Because my first words about my son was not wonderful, beautiful. My first words about my son was, "He looks like a lizard." Because she had been in, and I'm not telling you a story, I'm not exaggerating, she had been in labor for 4 days. They didn't realize that she wasn't designed to give birth naturally. And so after 4 days in the snow, after her dad, who never gets irritated, got irritated a couple of times at the doctors, finally we were there, and he began to cone right at his eyes. And so if some of you remember the old Saturday Night Live with the cone heads, that's what Lisa gave birth to. And so when I walked in there as an early 20s, and she said, is he pretty? I said, "Baby, he looks like a lizard." I said, "He's hideous." And so, yeah, we can say these things, but God, because he knows us, because he knows all about us, because he knows what we're going to become, he knows that that head's going to smooth out within 30 minutes. He looks at us and says, "Oh, wonderful, beautiful, marvelous." The same God who spoke the universe into existence also thought that it was a pretty good, special thing when he came up with the idea of you. Ride that out for a few minutes, you guys. Because I know that the world has a way of just pressing in on us. The world has a way of just smushing us. But God, in that moment of coming up with just knowing that you were going to be a person, that you were going to be a person that was going to spend eternity with him, that it was a special thing that he had going on. And let me say this too. I'm going to put this down so that you would read it. despite anything else you have heard. Don't let anybody convince you otherwise, because despite anything else you've heard or anything that your life has made you believe or your past has made you believe, you are, in fact, just that great to God. You're just that great. So here we sit before a creator, God, with unlimited knowledge and comprehension of exactly who we are and what we are. And his message to you, this morning is, you cannot comprehend how much you mean to me. You say, God, I'm not feeling it right now. His message to you is still, you cannot comprehend how much you mean to me. You are loved, my child. Sadly, because of the life that we are in, because of the world that we exist in, many of us don't feel so wonderful. Many of us don't feel so marvelous. Many of us don't feel so beautiful. We feel unknown sometimes. We feel unloved sometimes. We feel forgotten. We feel used. We feel cheated. We feel misunderstood and abused. We feel like rubbish. We feel like this is all something that is somebody else's story. This is not my story. And maybe God loves me, but I'm not feeling it right now. Very, very much wrong. One of my favorite movies of all times is a 30s movie. What a Wonderful Life. I think everybody should have a dream about what the world would be like without us in it. Because it's very easy to say, look, this world just seems like it could go on without me. I don't think the world would miss me. Well, the world wouldn't miss you. The people around you would miss you. God would miss the fact that he had a plan for you. Very, very much is wrong with that statement. So what's the misunderstanding between what God wants us to know and what we feel sometimes? And is there a way to boost our confidence in the truth that God loves us? And that's something that we cannot say enough, because it's almost like one of those cliches that we don't even hear anymore. God loves me. No, it means something, Chip. God loves you. Don't just say it. Hear it. And what can I do to remember or to reestablish that truth in me, that God loves me and he has a great plan for me? He wants to finish out my days, and he, until I'm dead, he wants me to be doing something for him. You say, we went through that, didn't we, about trying to work yourself to heaven. I'm not trying to work myself to heaven. I'm trying to finish doing a good job. That's what we're all doing. Every one of you can say that same thing. I'm just trying to end well. I'm trying to finish this well, because I know what I'm going to do after this is over with. Is there a way to boost our confidence? Well, yeah. What's your view of the Bible? If your view of the Bible is it's God's gift to us and it's total truth, it's absolute truth, then we've got it made. Then all we have to do is make sure that we marry ourselves to that Bible and that we're constantly looking in there. Lisa and I were youth pastors for a good while, and I was thinking about, that'll be your sister Amy, the duck. You can stay right here. Have you ever heard of, or have any of you ever played that game of doing a crowd? And what you do is you tell the first person, we used to do it in youth groups, because, well, you have to have about 20 or 25 or it won't work. But you tell the first person, you whisper a fact into their ear, a real fact. You whisper something into their ear, and they pass it along to the next person. They pass it along to the next person. Some of you played that game before? And by the time you get to the end, the last person tells what he or she heard. And it might start out like something simple, like my favorite food is pepperoni pizza. But by the time we get to the end of it, it turns out to be, you know, Pete's dog Pepper mauled his mom when she was trying to feed him. It's just totally different from what is the real story. And a truth like God loves us is a truth that can become distorted too. If we're just kind of relying on kumbaya and let's remind each other how much God loves, and we never go back to the Bible, we never read it, we're just kind of going on something that we learned back in Sunday school, you know, 30 years ago, and we're saying, you know, I think I remember that verse, and you know, God really loves us, and that kind of thing, it can lose its impact unless we go back and we see in the Word where God Himself says, I love you. You're marvelous. You're wonderful. And so we look at the fact that we've been given a written record. You're fully known. You're fully loved. You're fully forgiven. Of course, there's another truth that God alerts us to, and it's found in 1 Peter chapter 5, and it's about the enemy that we exist with. Be serious, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him and be firm in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. Understand that we're in this together. We're experiencing some of the same things together. That's why it's so important for us to get to the truth every day. Now, here's something that you will want to write down. Chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. And sometimes you just need to 4-8-9 yourself. Chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Galatians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. The first one in 2 Corinthians, it's the verse that talks about us being pressured on all sides, but we're not put down. It talks about us being persecuted but not perplexed. It talks about us having weights upon us, but we're not destroyed, struck down but not destroyed. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, it's that place where it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable, think on those things, and the God of peace will be with you. And then Galatians chapter 4, 8 and 9, it talks about, but in the past you didn't know God. You were enslaved to the things that by nature weren't God's. But now since you are known by God and know God, how can you turn back and be that weak, bankrupt person that's enslaved to those things again? Sometimes we just need that reminder. So 4, 8, and 9, 2 Corinthians, Philippians, and Galatians. All of us need to make sure we have undistracted and unhindered time with God so that we can hear and see and receive the truth that was intended for us. Sometimes we've just gone too far down that group and we are listening to something that we need to make sure it's in the Bible. We're listening to God said something, but somebody's telling me God said something. So that's why we need to spend time with God in the Word, looking and seeing what He said. Where can we carve out some extra time, even this week, to reconnect? Whatever we do, it is essential that we get back in contact with God regularly. What's your truth? Let me know your truth again. Let me hear your truth again. So what's it worth this week for me to be able to get to a place where I can confidently receive the truth that I, Chip Morgan, am fully known, I am fully loved, I am wonderful, I am marvelous, and I am beautiful? It's one of those things to where you say, isn't that kind of, you're kind of getting into yourself? That's what God thinks about us. From the very beginning, God said you were, and He still says it. He still knows that you are. So as we leave this place this morning, what a high spot to be on, of a reminder of, look, no matter what's going on in my life, God knows me. God knows all about me. God loves me. God thinks I'm wonderful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so very much for all that you do for us. But we thank you so very much for your Word, and that we have the ability to go and make sure that those things that we keep repeating are actually in the Bible, that they actually are truth and they're not something that we've just come up with. It's not us being religious that have come up with these things. It's you as God that has given us this treasure that we hold in our hands, or however we have the Bible. Lord, we thank you for that. And I praise you that you've given us sense enough to know that we can't get beyond the fundamentals of praying and studying the Bible and just spending time with you. So, Lord, I pray that whatever's going on in our lives, that we would know that's the answer. If we're looking for what is it that you're leading us to do, what is it that you're wanting us to do, how can I understand you better, it's all in the Bible. And Lord, when we are at that place to where we're groaning inside, where we've got those inner dilemmas, we've got those inner wrestlings that are going on, Lord, help us to understand that you love us, that you still love us, that you will always love us, and that you know what's going on. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just bless, that you would help us to see that we don't need to hide from you. We need to run to you. And so, Lord, I pray that we, all of us, would learn how to run to you. We love you. We thank you and praise you for all that you are. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.